At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
And this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Ruth needs an answer to her situation. Is that what she goes and looks for? Well, you say, yeah, but she's feeding herself too. Yeah, but she doesn't have to. At any moment, she can walk away. But why did she ask permission from Naomi? Huh? Yeah, to honor her. She was doing this to honor Naomi, not just because she needed to eat. And then it tells us that when she gets in this field of the, like I just showed in the last picture, that the servant, Boaz, just happens now. No, it was. She happens to come to this field about this guy we were introduced to. And then while she's there, he happens to show up. And he asked this unnamed servant, who's the babe? And come on, we already know the Moabite women were known for their attractiveness. Therefore, Balaam, remember, convinces the Moabite king, says, you just send your pretty woman over to Israel and that'll get him. Remember that? We talked about that. And so this unnamed servant, that's supposedly this guy in the blue, I suppose, in this picture I got, all right, gives her this information. Now, I wanted you to know that that is important. And that's in verse 5. And Boaz said to his servant, when we see an unnamed servant, this is not original with me. This has been around for millennia. Well, not quite two millennia, but several hundred years, this idea, so it didn't come from me. If we go to Genesis chapter 24, you don't have to go there, okay? If you recall, Abraham the father is looking for a bride for his only son, Isaac. He sends the unnamed servant to get a bride. By the way, a Gentile bride. To go get a Gentile bride for his son. That servant. Oh, and by the way, it's funny, I got to read this, because this is when Abraham, the servant says, well, what if she doesn't want to come? And this is what Abraham says to the, at this point, unnamed servant. The Lord God of heaven will send his angels before you. Please keep track of that. His angels before you, and you will take a wife for my son. So he goes and gets, this is Rachel, goes and makes the proposal to Rachel. She accepts the fact that she's going to go marry Isaac, the son, sight unseen. Then the unnamed servant gives her gifts. The unnamed servant brings her to Isaac, but Isaac happens to be looking outside. He was meditating, and they meet together. And then Isaac gets her and brings him into his father's house. Can anybody see the symbolism there, the typology? Especially when we find out I think it's chapter 12, that the name of this servant, unnamed servant, is Eliezer. Anybody have any clue what that name means? God, my helper. Now, if you go to the NASB or the CEV or any of those other modern translations, this is how it reads. Your King James might read slightly different, but Jesus says this, and John's the one that uses this term over and over again. And this is Jesus speaking. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring into your remembrance what I have said to you. If you go on in John in chapters 16, chapters 14, and other places, the Holy Spirit is God the Helper. Eliezer, God my helper, is sent to get a bride for the father's only son. Have you got it yet? He brings gifts to the bride. The bride accepts the son as her husband, sight unseen. The son meets the bride. That's going to be in next week's lesson. Okay, meets the bride and takes her to the father's house. So here we have the unnamed servant introducing what will be the Gentile bride to her kinsman redeemer in the fields of Bethlehem. And just happened to be those fields, okay? And if you recall, anybody know what tradition says happened in those fields? Okay, well, let's back up a little bit. A couple centuries ago, a Jewish fellow, he ends up converting to Judaism, is studying all this. And you remember when we were in Genesis and we talked about the Shepherd's Tower? Anybody remember that at all? Okay, the Shepherd's Tower was a lookout station over the fields of Bethlehem, okay, where these shepherds would watch over the flocks by night. I think you're starting to get the picture. Okay, they watch over the flocks by night. What their job was to watch was the Passover and the sacrificial lambs. They had to be a certain distance of travel to be able to get to Jerusalem in a set period of time and within the legal parameters of the law at the time, how far you can travel on holy days. So Bethlehem's only 5 miles. Somewhere in those fields in between is the Shepherd's Tower, where shepherds kept watch over the sacrificial lambs. Okay? It is in that field, tradition says, where Naomi meets Boaz. It is in those fields where the angels, sort of like Abraham said to his unnamed servant, the angels are going to go before you. That's the significance. And when you and I read it, we don't see it so much. But when you're a Hebrew, who their idea of prophecy isn't just foretelling, when they see prophecy, prophecy is about pattern. And they look for repetitive patterns. So this typology is all over in the book of Ruth. Oh, there it is. Alfred Edersheim was the guy who did that, by the way. And he lived from 1825 to 1889, okay? And you could read the Targum of Jonathan, which is, again, Hebrew writing, and the Talmud talks about those same things. But here's the interesting part. It says this in the text, and Ruth just happened, or in the King James, happed, to cut land on this field. She did not know it was Boaz's field. She does not know that Boaz is a kinsman. It just happened that she landed on these fields. I was listening, and I can't remember, is it John Colton, I think his name? Anyway, he's a preacher on the radio, and I'm listening to tell this story. He was a more robust young fellow in high school, but his brothers were track stars, especially distance runners, okay? And so he wanted to turn out for track and signed up to be a distance runner, but he was well-rounded. And he would just die. He was talked about when he'd go into the locker room afterwards and lose his lunch. He'd get sicker and then he got sicker. Then he got more sick, and then he got more sick. And he ends up going seeing the doctor and find out he's got pneumonia and, oh, I'm trying to remember, some other major problem. So he has to go into recovery, all right? And as they got him on the antibiotics and everything, he still wants to hang out with the guys on the track team. So after he's good, well enough, he starts hanging out with them. Walking around to do, and he walks over to one side where they're throwing a discus. You guys know what a discus is, right? And so he just starts goofing off and throwing the discus. He gets a scholarship to seminary later because he threw the discus. Hang on. You mean he got sick? That sickness moved him to a place that got him a scholarship that he goes to seminary that becomes a pastor because he got sick? It just happened that, okay? So often life is that way for us, but we don't necessarily see. We're like Ruth at the time. We've happened to. Now, hang on. How did Ruth get here? She lost her husband, her father-in-law, her brother-in-law. Had to travel, like we showed the pictures last week, through that desolate place. And now she's trying to honor her mother-in-law, and she just happens. I'd like to read some scriptures for you. And this one you've probably heard, Proverbs 37 and 23. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Jeremiah 10 and 23. I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. Then more in Proverbs 16 and 9. In his heart, a man plans his course, big picture, but the Lord determines his steps. 20 and 24. The man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand the Lord's way? 19 and 21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that would prevail. 21 and 30. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. Now, I would imagine knowing Elimelech's lineage, knowing what God said to Satan in the garden. I'm sure Satan's going, I got to do something to mess with this idea. This guy's going to come along in a particular lineage that's going to mess and crush my head. I got to do something about this. But he forgot something. But anyhow, all this suffering, all this difficulty, all these things that went wrong. When the car breaks down, when the kids get sick, when the doctor says, when those things happen, did you know he's still ordering your steps? We feel like everything's come apart, but he's still ordering your steps. That is hard when your car breaks down and you're going, I don't have any money to fix this thing. How do you feel like walking, babe? Put the kids on your back. Let's go. All right? What happens? But God's still in charge of that. That was hard for me to grasp. When I was laying on the ground with a pump on top of me going, how am I going to get out of this, God? Crawling my way out of that all alone. Wait a minute, God, what are you doing to me? I didn't see it as a good thing at the time. But then I end up throwing discus, so we're okay. Here's the thing is, our struggles are often God's gift in disguise. They truly are. So when we get to verse 7, where Naomi says, Ruth says to him, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. This is her speaking now when she talked to the servant. What is it she wants to do? Harvest, we'll leave that. And so the servant says, so she's been here since morning, she's only taken one break. Boaz says, listen carefully, my daughter, do not glean in another field. Let me put it this way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father. There ain't no other field. There's one harvest. You don't get to God multiple ways. I wrote a paper, and the idea that these people say there's multiple ways to God, and Jesus was just a good moral teacher. Well, if he was a good moral teacher, he's one heck of a liar. How can you be a good moral teacher and lie and say, I'm the only way, and then you try to say, all right, anyway, stay in this field. Stay with the maidens. Let your eyes be on the field, which they reap. That's sort of the purpose of the bride, people, is to reap, is to harvest, to keep your eyes on that. And he says, when you're thirsty, you can drink with my servants. And look what, if you don't think this is symbolic, typology, and she fell on her face, bowing to the ground. Jews don't let that happen, folks. You don't bow like that in that sense to your face to the ground. There's a word for that. It's called worship. Did you know that? The word worship, to lay face down, to prostrate yourself, that's the same word. And this is the part I like. Why have I found favor in your sight? Ruth is introduced to Boaz by this unnamed servant, gains access to all that Boaz has, as we read on in the story. She can now stop worrying. She can be at peace. Let me read to you a scripture. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into his grace. Anybody know what word that is? That's the same in Hebrew, that word which she said, where have I found favor in your eyes? That word translated most of the time is grace. How have I found grace in your eyes. In which we stand, we rejoice and hope. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, put this in context of Ruth as well and where you are. Knowing that, we rejoice in our, anybody want to finish it? In our sufferings. Knowing that our suffering produces endurance, and our endurance produces character, and our character produces hope. Hope that does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out on us through the unnamed servant, through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. We come to Christ through this sort of same way because you got to eventually just humble yourself and say, I'll go beg if I have to. We are the one who doesn't belong. She says, how can I find favor in your eyes since I am a foreigner? Read Hebrews. Read where Paul talks about, well, there's this, these two different groups, if you will. There's enmity between the two groups, but then he makes the two one, that he makes the foreigner a Jew, and it's not a Jew by, and he talks about not by circumcision and so on like that. We are that Gentile bride. So as we continue to look at the story of Ruth, I want you to think of yourself or the church as Ruth. Okay? Because this typology continues in a way that a Hebrew can't see because they don't believe in Christ the Mashiach Nagid. All right? So, but we got to continue to understand that all this happens by accident. Now, wait a minute. If he's ordering her steps to the particular field, was he still ordering their steps when the husbands died? How about, let's go back even further. Was God ordering their steps when there was a famine in the land? Do you guys remember? Because this is during the time of the judges. How did the famine end up in the land? They were being oppressed by their enemies. Wait a minute. You mean God was in the enemy attack too? I mean, how far do you go back? Do you see these steps being ordered by God that she would just happen to land on this field and she ends up in the lineage of Christ? Wait a minute. Because of a hooker. I use the crass language on purpose to make the point. Wait a minute. You mean when the spies go into the land and they happened to pick this place to hide, because men could go in and out of that place pretty easy. This place to hide, and there's this particular type of, you mean God was in that too? Why? Because she's in the lineage of Christ. She is Boaz's mama. That becomes vital to the context of Ruth the Moabitess. We'll run into it later, but I'll give it away anyway. Can a Jew marry a Gentile? So how could Boaz? Because he was part Gentile. Let me put it this way. How can Jesus become the groom of man? How can God become the groom of man? Because he is both God and man. Like Boaz is both Gentile and a Jew, he can bring himself in a Gentile bride. Christ, being both God and man, can come and make a bride of you and I, people. Now, the thing part blows my mind here. If I go back to 1100s BC, somewhere in there, 1300s BC, somewhere in that period of time. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that these things are happening that long ago, so that when Christ comes in Bethlehem, that the same shepherds in the same fields who watch for take care of the Passover lambs, then the message could be announced to by angels. Wait a minute, let's go back even a little further. You mean want to tell me when Abraham said, go get a wife for my only son, now I don't just see God ordering my steps. I see God ordering all of history. All of history. That means the ugly wars too. I didn't say he caused them. I said he ordered them. He's still in charge when he looks at you and goes, you know what? I can come in and step in right now and stop you right now. I'll put the, but I won't. Still his sovereign choice to let, to allow that, because he could stop it at any moment. Let me give you an example. And every thought of a man's heart was evil. Therefore, I will flood the earth. Then he makes a vow. I'm not going to step in again in this way. I'm not going to flood the earth with water again, thus the rainbow. So the fact that it doesn't flood means God's out of control. And let's don't count Houston. No, God says, I have chosen to step back and not do it this way. So when God looks at Adolf Hitler, could God have struck Adolf Hitler dead on the spot? Could he have stopped him? Yes. But he says, wait a minute, you all don't understand. You see a field. That's what you see. You see you're hungry and you're going to go pick some grain. That's what you see. But I am bigger than that. So when things go wrong in your life, if you recognize, wait a minute, God, you're bigger than this. I don't know if I like picking grain. I don't like if I like having to be a beggar and on welfare. I don't like if I have to walk into the grocery store with that little card that you get from the state to buy your groceries. That's sort of embarrassing. Wait a minute. Can God be in that? Yeah, God is in that. And the part is, that's one of the ways you rejoice in our suffering. That's one of the ways we do it, knowing. How do I know? How do I know with confidence that it produces those things? Because God's in charge. And all things work to the good of those who love. I don't like it. Are you sure this is working out to my good, God? But he's in control. He knows where he's going, and he has something for you to fulfill. And this is what I'm going to put it in this way. Ruth decided to be an answer for Naomi, who couldn't go glean herself at her age. She asked, she says, can I help? Please give me permission to help you. You will not fulfill your purpose. And you will not fulfill your destiny in Christ till you decide this. I am the answer to someone else's struggle. Now, I don't mean that in an arrogant sense. The same way Naomi did. If I become your servant, what I will find in the process, I will fulfill purpose. Ruth begins, she doesn't know it yet, but she's fulfilling a great purpose, but she simply did this. Naomi, what can I do for you? Too many people want to go straight from, if you will, straight from Moab to the palace, if you will. Too many people want to go to Easter without a cross. It is by you becoming a servant of others that you will find what God has for you. Too many people, and I said, too many people want to go to seminary, which I'm going to now, so I'm not putting that down. Go to seminary and come out and say, I'm it. I've got it. That ain't how you do it. For the greatest in the kingdom is what? The least, the one who becomes the servant of all. So there was this guy named Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther, okay? So he comes up with this idea because the Catholic Church said this, you earn your salvation through merit. You do certain things, and if you sin, and you come to the priest, he'll give you certain things to do, and then you earn it that way. Martin Luther comes on and says, no, you don't earn it at all. There's no, it is by favor, by grace. You're justified by grace. So people accused him of being antinomian. That is, grace, you can live how you want. It's just an invitation to sin. Right? That kind of idea. And he goes, no, you don't get it. You don't understand it. When you're regenerated, you desire to be like Christ, who did not come to be, but to... So Martin Luther writes this whole treatise, okay, on the freedom of the will and this kind of thing, speaking about how good works in us is manifested by being Christ-like, by being a servant to someone else, to serving others. Then when we do that, our good works then are born out of that, not out of a way to merit something on my behalf. But there was this guy named Erasmus who wrote in response to him, because he felt that was out of balance. That'll be next week's message, sorry. Because, wait a minute, is there's no, you get nothing out of good works? And that's what Erasmus has argued. But my point is this, we operate under the idea, well, we know, that God's in charge. Okay, but that doesn't mean we just sit here and go, okay, you're in charge, let's see what accidents happen. No, that accident happened because Ruth says, I'm going to serve. I'm going to be loyal. I'm going to give. I realize what you can't do. I'll do it for you. Then she finds that purpose in the process. So many people ask me, I don't know my purpose in the kingdom, man. I don't know what God wants. I don't know. I got. You know what? Go serve. Serve someone and you'll find out real quick. Okay? You'll find out if gleaning wheat's good for you or not. You got to recognize this is also happening. Just happens to be happening during that week I showed you. Now, wait a minute. It just wasn't just what she did. It wasn't just the field. It was the timing as well. Well, wait a minute. My air conditioner broke down this month. My car broke down this month. My oven broke down this month. Wonder what your timing is, God. You know, wait a minute. God. You got in control. Will, you didn't just pick here. It's God's timing. He has a purpose. Let's stand. Father, we thank you that we see in your word, your mighty hand, your sovereignty, O God, over history and over my little details in my life. But God, I also recognize in your sovereignty, you call us to a heart to serve, that we get to be like your son and serve one another. God, I pray that we would stop in any kind of pride, get it out of our heart, that we would simply be willing to glean a field, to sweep the floor, whatever it is. And God, in that process, we discover your mighty hand. God, I thank you in the midst of the trial, the struggle, the difficulty. I can recognize that in my suffering, you are in charge, that it brings within me a hope. I give you all the praise I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.